Over the summer, really, we've been looking at signs and wonders and miracles and authority. And we started out our message 2 weeks ago by looking at how Jesus worked the miracles that he did when he walked on the earth. How did Jesus work the miracles? Well, we can see that he didn't stop and pray and ask the Lord to do it. No, he took his position and he gave a command of faith. He said to a demon inside of a person, come out. And how many of you know demons left their flesh? He said to the sick, be made whole, be clean. And they were instantly healed. One man was instantly healed of leprosy on those two words, be clean. He got up in the middle of a storm and he said, peace, be still. Those three words stopped a storm right in its tracks. Instantly, the waves stopped, the wind stopped, things settled down. He took his authority. He gave the command of faith, and things obeyed him. So I want you to notice he didn't do those miracles, though, because he was God. Nowhere in the scriptures do we see Jesus saying, don't try this at home. I can only do this because I'm God. Who do you think you are? No, that's not what he said. He said in John 14:10, we've looked at it several times, but I just want to refresh your memory tonight. He said, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Even Jesus didn't take credit for the signs, wonders, and miracles he did. He said, it's the Father who's living in me who is doing the work. Now, how many of you are born again? You got the very same Father, the very same Holy Ghost living right smack on the inside of you. If he worked miracles through Jesus, could he do it through you? He could. He could. He said, believe, verse 11, believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Verse 12, I tell you the truth. Listen, listen, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. How many of you know he's telling us the truth? He said, anyone who believes in me, my NIV says, anyone who believes in me, let me read it, the one you're looking at. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater than these because I am going to the Father. Glory to God. He said, if you believe in him, you'll do the very same works he did and even greater. After Jesus ascended in bodily form, his disciples who were just humans, how many of you know they were all just human? Sometimes we get to thinking they were extra special. You know, they were not, put in some closet somewhere with a glory light on them until they glowed or, you know, they weren't just extra special. These were just ordinary, regular old folks who became disciples of Christ. And these regular old, ordinary folks worked miracles like Jesus did. How did they do that? Let's look. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, hey, look at us. Give us your attention. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. What did he have? Yeah, he had the power. He had the authority. He had the miracle worker living right in here. And he said, I don't have money on me right now. I don't have anything I can give you financially to help you, but I got something. And what I got, I'm going to give to you. You paying attention, dude? You looking at me? Give me. I'm sure he didn't say that exactly that way. But he said, you know, give us your attention. He said, what I do have, I give you. What was that? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. What was it? It was a command of faith, just like Jesus gave. Verse 7, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Verse 8, he jumped to his feet, and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I'm sure he was. How many of you ever been just needing something real bad? He needed intervention. He'd been that way forever, and he wanted to be well. And all of a sudden, his dream came true, and I'm sure he was tearing it up. Let's look at verse 9. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Verse 11, while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. That when Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Listen, they knew it wasn't them. Peter and John knew they couldn't do anything. They knew it was God, and they wanted the people to know who it was that was doing the work. He said, why are you staring at us as if it was us who did it? It wasn't us. Verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Then he said, as long as I got your attention, I'm gonna needle you a little bit for what you did to my Savior. He said, you handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. How many of you know that's some stout words he said there? He's trying to cause a riot or something. How many of you know Peter? He just says what's on his mind. You don't ever have to wonder what's on Peter's mind. He said, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. Verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus. Peter told us exactly how that miracle happened. It's not because we're anything. We're just human beings like you are. But we have someone greater on the inside of us. It's this Jesus. And by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Glory to God. Peter clearly told them how this miracle was done. It was done by using Jesus' name and faith. Do you have his name? If we could just believe, what could we do? You know, I was learning about authority, and I was learning some things when I was in Bible school at Rhema, and there was a lady that I was working with, and she had some arthritis, terrible, terrible arthritis problems. You know, not even just like a few stiff joints, but I mean, she has some severe arthritic problems. And I was standing by her one day in the office. I worked a job while I was at Rhema, And I really felt like the Lord wanted me to pray for her. But I thought, Lord, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. You know, I'm just learning these things, and I didn't do it. I'm ashamed to say I didn't do it. And so I went home, and I was talking to one of Lonnie Schrader's roommates. I knew Lonnie clear back in the day. I was talking to one of his roommates, and another one of his roommates asked to be put on the phone. And he said, when I heard it was you on the phone, the Spirit of God came on me, and the Spirit of God asked me to tell you this. When you lay hands on anyone in the name of Jesus, it is though Jesus himself was doing the laying on of hands. It's not you, Rhonda. It's him. Oh, if we could just get that revelation down on the inside of us. Listen, you've got the power within you to fix anybody's problems, to fix anybody's situation, to drive out any sickness, drive out any disease. I tell you, he is here, right here on the inside, wanting to get out of you. There's something on the inside of you that can change people's lives. It's not you, it's him. Honestly, if I had prayed for that woman, even if I was just learning faith, even if I didn't have the faith to completely seal the deal and she get an instant healing, what's the worst thing that could happen? She'd go away knowing I cared enough to pray. That I cared about her condition, that I cared about her as a person. Do you understand? Why are we so timid? Why are we so timid? At the very least, they'll know we cared enough to pray. But at the very best, that power of God will shoot out of you, driving sickness and disease out of people's bodies. Glory to God. The miracle worker is on the inside of you. The miracle worker is on the inside of you. The miracle worker is on the inside of you. You ought to look at yourself in the mirror every morning and say that. The miracle worker lives on the inside of you, you person in the mirror. If we could ever really believe that, it changed some things. Acts 9:32. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Who healed Aeneas? Jesus healed Aeneas. Peter was careful to acknowledge that it wasn't him who was able to do these things, but it was Jesus through him. And when you pray for people, it'll be Jesus through you. Verse 34. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. And immediately Aeneas got up. And all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. You might just start a revival. Glory to God. Woo! Signs, wonders, and miracles, they draw people. Especially if it's somebody that everybody knows. Verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name was Dorcas. And she was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. So Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room, and all the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and the clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Where'd he learn that? Then he got down on his knees and prayed. And turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. So we see Peter, who was given authority by Jesus as a disciple to heal the sick and to cast out demons. We looked at that scripture in weeks past. He had given authority to his disciples. We saw Peter doing as Jesus had done, healing the sick, raising the dead, and doing it by faith in the name of Jesus. But what about those who came to Jesus after Jesus' ascension? All right, so Peter was there in person when Jesus authorized the disciples and he laid hands on them and told them to go heal the sick and cast out, you know, devils. And you remember? And then they came back and they said, you know, even the demons are subject to us in your name. You remember all that? So Peter had Jesus lay hands on him. But did anybody else who didn't get hands laid on them, somebody who wasn't technically a disciple, do we see anybody else working miracles? How many of you know Paul was not a disciple of Jesus? In fact, there's no record they ever met while Jesus was alive. Before he went to the cross anyway, they met afterwards on the road when he got knocked to the ground. They met later. There's no indication that they even met before Jesus went to the cross. He was not one of the disciples who was given authority by Jesus while he was alive on the earth. Yet we see him operating the same way as Jesus and the disciples. Acts 14:8. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame, and he had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet!" At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Glory to God. Woo! Now, how did this crippled man get healed? Paul gave the command of faith, and the man was healed. But how could this be? He's just an ordinary man. Now he's a believer. He's turned to Christ. But he wasn't one of the disciples who were given that authority specifically by Jesus. But no, he got his authority when he was born again. Glory to God. He was authorized, deputized, and he gave the command of faith just like Jesus and the disciples before him. He didn't pray, ask God to heal him. He said, "You, stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." They did this in front of a lot of superstitious people who didn't understand what had just happened. Barnabas, they called Zeus, one of the Greek gods. And Paul, they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city. All right, so the priest from a false god came running from his temple and brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas as gods. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes and they rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. It's not us. We're bringing you good news, telling you to turn from those worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. The next verse said, even with all their words, they were barely able to dissuade them from offering sacrifice to them. But how many of you know Paul was so clear to say, it's not us. We didn't do that. We're just mere human beings like you are. You know what? God uses ordinary people. He uses imperfect human flesh. And he's looking to use you. Acts 16:16. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. And she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. Stop right there. I want you to notice she had a spirit, a demon, by which she did her fortune telling. How many of you know there's some fortune tellers, some people who channel the dead on TV even now? Listen to me, don't you be fooled. The Bible tells us how they do what they do. It's by a demon, a familiar spirit, a spirit that was familiar with the person they're talking about when they were alive. They call up. They talk about stuff, you know, while your mother was dying, you said this to them. How do they know that? By that familiar spirit. Are you with me? I don't do a lot of watching of those shows, but I flipped by and heard one of them say right out of their mouth, spirit says, oh, yeah. The devil's trying to make it look acceptable. Ooh, it got quiet in here. Man, we need to stay here a minute. The enemy's trying to make it look acceptable. I was walking through the streets of, I think it was New Delhi in India. And this fortune teller, this guy, he kept following me everywhere. And he was like, I can tell you your future. Hey, girl, you. I mean, he wouldn't leave me alone. For block after block, he walked behind me, and I tried ignoring him, and the dude wouldn't go away. Finally, I turned around, and I said, I know exactly what my future is. My future is bright. I overcome. Everything I do is blessed. And I gave him scripture after scripture until he looked at me, stood there, and finally just walked off. He didn't know what. I don't need a fortune teller to tell me what my future is. The Word of God has already clearly said what my future is. You know, somebody meaning well said to me one time, you need to talk to your dead mother. And I said, look, if my mother's hanging around, she knows I don't believe in talking to dead people. And she'll be okay because she knows I don't believe in talking. Don't be talking to dead people. There are familiar spirits who'll help you. Try to make you think it's the person when it's just somebody who knows stuff. A demon who knows stuff because they were around. Let's read it again. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. Verse 17. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. How many of you know she was telling the truth? Verse 18. And she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed. Why was he annoyed? Because she was associating herself with them. Listen to me. These guys are here to show you the way of salvation. And after they left, then she would still have the inn riding on their coattails. Do you understand? got on Paul's nerves. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and he said to that spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. Glory to God. I've told this story, but I was praying for the sick. I was doing a village crusade out in the middle of nowhere on the mission field. No electricity. I mean, this meeting was just like what you'd imagine a missionary's meeting to be hundreds of years ago. It was all by firelight, manure and mud huts, you know. It was just an incredible time, and it's one of the first village crusades I ever did. And I was laying hands on the sick, and I was in there, because how many of you know I knew I was in over my head? I was green as the grass, dumb as the dirt, didn't have a clue what I was doing, but God. And so I was so dependent on the Spirit of God, and so I was totally hooked up. I was totally in, if y'all know what I mean. I was totally hooked up with the Spirit of God, and I'd been laying hands on the sick, and they brought this lady to me, and they said, she's blind. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, wait. He said, pray in the Holy Ghost a minute. So I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. They don't know what I'm doing. They don't speak my language anyway. They had no clue that I was talking in tongues. I was just talking. So I took a minute and I prayed in the Holy Ghost for a minute. Then I laid my hand on her, and I meant to say, be healed in Jesus' name. But because my tongue was so hooked up with my heart, I was shocked to hear myself say, you come out of her, you foul spirit, in Jesus' name. Now listen, I didn't know it was a demon here, but God knew. And without even it passing through my brain, it came up out of my mouth. I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked I said it. I had no intention of saying that. Those were not the words my brain told my tongue to say. But it came right up out of my heart. The instant it did, she hit the ground, slithering like a snake through the crowd. I mean, the crowd parted. I jumped off the little platform I was on. I'm following her through the crowd, giving the command of faith, you know. Glory to God. Not everything is a demon. I think we talked about this. I came up when if you overate, you had a spirit of gluttony. Now, maybe you just need to, you know, put your fork down. If you lost your temper a lot, you had a spirit of something or other. I don't know, wrath, rage, something. No, you just got to control yourself at points. Do you understand? I don't want to get too far down that road, but everything was a demon. How many of you know not everything is a demon? A lot of times it's just people's flesh. But it's good to know if you ever do confront one, you got the upper hand. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You've been authorized. You've been deputized. You can take care of it. Oh, I have so digressed. Okay. Acts 19:11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, who was not even a disciple when Jesus was alive. So that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. The words that Paul and others, even down to us, use in the name of Jesus. How many of you know those are not magic words? Or words that contain inherent power? It's not like, you know, is that what she used to do, bewitched her, you know? Or, I don't know. I'm not going to try to give incantations or anything. But they aren't magic words. No, it's when we exercise our faith and we know our authority and we exercise our faith with it, that those words are powerful and work on our behalf. Let's look at the next verse. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Now, where did they go wrong? They had no personal knowledge. They'd heard somebody do it. They were trying. How many of you know we don't try things? Don't try, do. Don't try, do. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, because I heard him do it, so I'm going to try it. In the name of the Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Let's see how that worked out for him. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know about. But who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Seven sons of Sceva. One man against seven. He tore all their clothes off and left them naked and bleeding. Just saying the words and hoping they'll work is not enough. It is for us believers who know that we've been given that delegated authority, that we've been authorized and deputized to use it. Then you get the results. Ephesians 1:15 out of the Amplified. Again, don't go looking for demons. If you start looking for demons, things will accommodate you just to keep you busy. Just know they're under your feet and go on. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, the people of God, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is Paul to the Ephesians. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. How many of you know you've got a part of his glorious inheritance, his set apart ones? Verse 19. And so that you can know and understand, listen to this. This is what he prays for them, that they could know and understand what is the immeasurable, it's not able to be measured, unlimited, it never runs out, surpassing greatness, it's greater than great. The surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe. Now let's just stop here a minute. I'm about to preach myself happy. Woo! We'll see if I can do this without taking a lap. Glory to God. Once you get born again, living on the inside of you, in you, is power that is not able to be measured, immeasurable. Never runs out. It's unlimited. And it surpasses greatness, the surpassing greatness of his power. That's what's on the inside of you now who believe. Glory to God. How many of you know that'd be good enough if he left it there? But it's not just for us or in us. It's for us. That immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power is also for you. For you to do what? Whatever you need to do with it. Put the enemy on the run wherever he raises his ugly head. Wherever he tries to get an inroad into your life, oh, his surpassing, immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power is for you to put the devil on the run. Woo! And that power was demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Look, he took Jesus right up out of hell, took him up out of the pit of hell, raised him up, raised us up with him, seated him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where he's sitting right now, at the right hand of God. How many of you know you don't sit down till your work is done? His work is done. Now he's deputized you to put the kingdom of hell on the run wherever it pops up its ugly head to oppose the will of God. He sat down. I can do this. Verse 21. He is seated at the right hand of God, far above. You ever look down from an airplane? Semi-trucks and skyscrapers are miniature. How many of you know things look different when you know where you're seated? And when you can look down from where you're seated at what's going on down here? He sat him far above. Not a little bit above. Far above all. We can stop on every verse. I mean every word. He's far above all. All rule, rulers, all authority. He is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. He is far above every name that's named. He's far above the name of cancer. He's far above the name of diabetes. He's far above heart disease. He's far above kidney disease. He's far above everything that's been given a name. Well, I got something, they don't know what it is. Just give it a name. He is far above every name that is named. He's above every title that can be conferred. Not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. He is the supreme ruler, the supreme authority of the universe and beyond. There is none like him. I just want to read that again. He's seated far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that's named. He's above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. Verse 22. And he, God, has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church. A headship exercised throughout the church. Verse 23, which is his body. Let's go back. 22. He's put all things under his feet. All things are under his feet. Verse 23. Oh, back up. Let's run into it. He's put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body. The church is what? The church is his body. The church is his body. He's seated at the right hand of God. Where's his body? At the right hand of God. Where, are you part of the church? Are you born again? Then you're in his body. And where is his body? Seated in heavenly places. Seated in heavenly places. Far above all authority, all might, all dominion, far above every name that could ever be named. And I'm in him. I'm in him. I'm in the church. I'm in his body. That makes me seated with him at the right hand of God. Oh, far above, far above, far above. He's put all things under his feet, which means he's put all things under my feet. He's put all things under my feet. He's put all things under your feet. You have authority. You have dominion. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're in him, and he's at the right hand of God. Oh! Woo! Glory! If that don't excite you, your wood's wet. Glory to God. Whew. The church is his body. We're part of the church. We are his body. Keep him under your feet. God put him there. God put him there. You got to keep him there. He's under your feet. He's under your feet. Just in case, well, just in case we didn't get it, he goes on to say it a little different way. Let's keep reading. Ephesians 2:1 is the very next verse. And you, he made alive who were dead, slain by your own trespasses and sins. How many of you know that's who we were? In which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and the fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh. Our behavior was governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We lived by what our mind could dream up, by what our body desired, by what our emotions needed. We just went with whatever was going on in the world. How many of you know that is so true? That is who we were. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation, like the rest of mankind. My favorite two words in the whole Bible. But God. That's who we were. You know, sometimes people say, I just got to be me. I just, you know, I have these desires and I just have to yield to him. No, you're going with your lowest possible self. He gave you the power to overcome those evil desires. That's who we were. But God. But God. It's the answer to everything. The doctor said I couldn't live, but God. My children went off and they're living in sin, but God. I've been so depressed and feeling hopeless, but God. I don't have enough money to pay my bills. But God, it answers everything. It's my two favorite words in the Bible. It answers everything. Yeah, but God, who is so rich in his mercy. Because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life which with he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, but you got it anyway. For it is by grace that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Verse 6, and he raised us up together with Jesus. When he raised him up, he raised us up with him. And he made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We are in him. We are in him. Seated at the right hand of the Father, far above, far above, far above. Glory to God. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every matter be confirmed. Psalms chapter 8, verse 1. From the director of music, we'll skip that part. Lord, our Lord, is telling them how to play the music. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, how many of you know that he's an awesome God? That's what it's talking about. When I look at the moon and the stars and everything you created, when I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels. Listen, that word in the Hebrew is Elohim. It's God. You have made man a little lower than yourself. It's not angels. Look it up. You don't believe me. You made them a little lower than you, God, and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. What are we supposed to be doing? Ruling over the works of his hands. And you put everything under their feet. Glory to God. Woo! Yet another witness. He put everything under our feet. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Can you give me 2 minutes? I'll talk fast. We have to know that we've been given delegated authority and we've been authorized and deputized to use it. But even then, when you know that, you have to liberally mix your faith with it and release that faith to receive what he said would happen. Mark 11:22, I'll be really fast. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea. What is that? A command of faith. A command of faith. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I want you to stand up right where you're at, and I want you to say this with me. And I want you to mean it with all of your heart. I want you to prophesy over yourself. I want you to proclaim these things over your own life. All right, say it with me. Healing is mine. Health is mine. Authority is mine. Wholeness is mine. I have been authorized. I have been deputized. Satan no longer has right to rule in my life. Wholeness is mine. Prosperity is mine. Increase is mine. Peace is mine. Soundness of mind is mine. I am free. My spouse is free. My kids are free. I am seated in Christ. I am seated in Christ. Far above all principalities, all powers, all might, all dominion, and everything that's been given a name. It's all under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Demons are under my feet. I have been authorized. I have been deputized. I exercise authority in the earth to enforce the will of heaven. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Man, when the enemy comes to mess with you this week, no way, Jack, I am far above. Far above. Somebody taught this in a youth group, and one of the kids went back to school, and some little chick was trying to get him to do something he ought not be doing. He said, yo, I'm above that. Seated in Christ. Glory to God. You're above the temptations of the enemy. You're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Authorized to take dominion in the earth. Glory to God. You're part of the church. In him. Seated far above. With authority. Over everything that can be named, anything that would oppose the will of God in the earth, that's who you are.